take a special moment and think about our fathers, our physical fathers, our spiritual fathers, and just be thankful to God for them, what they have done for us, the things that they sacrificed for us. So please give your father a call, talk to him, say something nice. We're going to continue on today in our study of Colossians. I'll be reading from chapter 1, verse 9, to verse 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's ask God's blessing on this passage. Dear Lord, we have sung many songs today about your faithfulness and how you are a rock and an anchor. And many people have prayed, thanking you for what you have done and how you are the King and how you delivered us. Dear Lord, that's what we want to dwell on today, and that's what we want to thank you for today, your power and your graciousness to us. Pray that this would become an incredible reality in our lives, an incredible, steadfast point that does not change, just a faithful recognition of your faithfulness, a faithful recognition of your graciousness to us, that this would impact our lives in every respect, that we would just be thankful, and just have great gratitude to you. In your precious name, amen. So last time, a while ago, we were talking about giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, in verse 12. And then this is sort of the end of Paul's prayer for the Colossians. He's been praying that they would be filled with knowledge of His will, spiritual wisdom, for walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. He's been asking for strength according to His power, His might, for endurance and patience. And then he sort of gives an explanation of why we can expect these things. And that is because the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. How has He done this is now dealt with in these next two verses. As Christians, it's easy living in the kingdom of light to forget what the kingdom of darkness was like in our own personal lives. So I want you to sit for a moment and imagine total darkness. Total physical darkness. Not the darkness of night, where there is some light, even when the sky is overcast and the moon is hidden, but complete and total darkness. The kind where you cannot see your hand in front of your face, no matter how close it gets. Perhaps one or two of you have been in a cave or a deep mine, like my father has. It is in such places where one experiences true dark. I like you to imagine being lost in such a place with no flashlight. You stop to take a look at something, and suddenly the group you were with is around a corner and out of sight. At first, you're more surprised than anything. How could they just leave me, runs through your mind, along with, when I catch up, they're going to get a piece of my mind. You grope around for something to touch, but it is now that you notice the completeness of the darkness around you. Night is like everything has been shaded with a dark crayon, like taking something and coloring it black, but you can still see the edges. This is different. Like nothing exists anymore. Like the physical objects around you have been totally eradicated. Perhaps there really is nothing beyond the little pad of ground that you currently stand on. And if you step off, it will be a footfall into empty space. But that can't be true, so you take a step forward and another. You find a wall. You go in a direction, but directions don't matter down here. With all the turns and passages, you will never get out in this dark. Suddenly, a beam of light ignites the darkness, chasing it far down the passage behind you. And you hear the voice of the tour guide. Good thing I noticed you were gone. If I hadn't come back for you, you could have been lost forever. My friends, if God had not intervened, if God did not come back for us, we would be lost in the darkness of sin forever. Unlike the person in this story, we were born into the darkness, blacker than the physical lack of visible light created by underground conditions. We were born into a darkness of soul that blinds our spiritual eyes so that we could not find the way to safety, no matter how hard we labored. For this was not an external affliction, something someone else put on us, but an internal reality, an internal servitude to the darkness. As it says here in verse 13, the place that we have been delivered from is the dominion of darkness. The dominion of darkness is the result of the fall, the sin of Adam and Eve, our representatives. They founded this kingdom and raised the standard of darkness over all of their descendants. All of us were born there, and many, many, many die there. And it is important for Christians to think and meditate on what is the significance and power of this dominion. The nature of the darkness is this. In the dominion of darkness, we are blind to our condition. Like the Pharisees, those under the dominion of darkness cannot see that they are the ones who are sick and indeed dead in sins. When Jesus says that he is a physician that comes to heal the sick, not the well, the blinded, darkened mind cannot see that it is us he is talking about and that we need the remedy. The first human sin was pride. And pride always convinces the prideful that there is nothing wrong with who they are and what they are doing. Claiming to be wise, we become fools who look at our problems in a mirror and leave and immediately forget what kind of person we are. The dominion of darkness, we are blind to the remedy. And indeed, even when we recognize that something is wrong in our lives, we always attempt to fix ourselves with all the wrong tools and turn to all the quackiest doctors and go to food that will not satisfy. In Samuel 12, Samuel implores the people of Israel not to trust in empty things that cannot help or satisfy, because that is what we so often do. The gospel is always the last place people seem to look for salvation, isn't it? The Jews stumbled over the stumbling stone, that is Christ. The Greeks think the gospel seems foolish compared to the so-called science and reason of man. We attempt to fix the darkness in our souls by living good lives, by giving money to charity, by trying to lie a little less, by following man-made religions, by attempting to pretend the darkness isn't important, that this is just a fact of the human condition, and that someday humanity will evolve out of this stage. But we cannot. And we will not see the loving hands of Jesus that are reaching to lift us out of the pit. In the dominion of darkness, we are blind to our fate. This is perhaps the saddest part of the kingdom of darkness, is steadily oblivious of where it is headed. People continue to marry and give in marriage, to eat and drink and be merry, not realizing that tonight their soul may be required of them. Ask practically any person on the street whether or not they are a good person, and whether God should let them into heaven. No questions asked, and 9 times out of 10 they will reply, "Why, yes, of course I am good. I'll go to heaven." It is a sobering thing to think of the condition that the world is in, and that we were once in. "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night," says the classic hymn, "And Can It Be?" And we must all look at our pre-Christian days with sober reflection. Yes, indeed, there I was, lost and helpless, under the dominion of darkness. It should fill us with humility that we were helplessly lost, but for grace. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Our very best deeds were simply the wrappings with which we would have been buried with in the grave. All of the things which humans consider important and useful were useless in aiding us. Money, power, professions, degrees, friends, possessions. Indeed, the things which the world values make it hard to enter heaven. Everyone who comes in through the door of grace, just as we are, is without one plea, except that Jesus' blood was shed for us. Along with humility, it should also fill us with compassion for those who are currently in this sorry condition. These lost people are all around you, and they are searching for meaning in all the wrong places, turning to gods of wood and stone that cannot speak or hear, and stumbling around and against the fallenness of the world and its problems, and wondering if anyone really cares about them, and blaming God for problems that only He has the power to fix. Christian, does it ring out your heart to know that they are lost and under the dominion of darkness? When Jesus was asked why He ate with sinners in Luke 15, He told a parable. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people that need no repentance." Jesus cares for the lost sheep and searches them out until he finds them. Even one lost sheep in darkness, he considers worthy of his concern. Let us too be filled with his love and urgency towards the lost who are trapped in deep and terrible darkness, boldly going in search of them as he does. Indeed, if there are any here today who are currently lingering in the night of life, I have some sad news for you. You are lost. You may think you are fine, that you don't need God, but you are under the dominion of darkness. You are under its power. The sins that you carelessly commit only deepen the guilt that you bear and only increase your servitude to this dark kingdom. You are stumbling around in the dark spiritually, and you will die in this cave unless someone helps you out. But wait, could there be light? It says here, "He has delivered." In steps the mastermind of this rescue, God the Father himself. We were hanging over the pit of hell by a thread, as Jonathan Edwards once said. But God saw our condition, and though he was in no way obligated to expend any effort to save members of the opposite side, the rebel army that opposed his rightful rule of everything, he even gave his own son as a replacement sacrifice for the penalty of the evil deeds we have done in the service of the dark. We had no power to save ourselves, no possible way to change our own citizenship. But God is the ultimate hero of history, rescuing his people from the worst possible conditions to victory and glory in Christ. No matter the apparent defeats the Christian experiences in life, the Christian is already victorious because God has delivered us from this dominion of evil and true failure, triumphing over the powers which held us in their grasp and changing our heart. Indeed, he takes out our heart of stone, this stone that was forged in the very kingdom of darkness, and gives us a heart of flesh. He opens our eyes to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, as God is the very originator and inventor of light. In the words of 1 Corinthians 4:6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So though our spirits lay long in prison, bound by sin and the fallenness of nature, from the eye of God, the creator of light, there shone a ray of holy, life-giving light, the gospel of the glory of Jesus. And we were awakened from the dullness of our slumber to the flaming brilliance of the beam of grace. Our chains which bound us to the dark ways of the dominion of darkness crumbled off our hands, and we could now rise up and follow Jesus to safety. Let us not forget the beauty and wonder of that moment of deliverance. Though we might not remember the exact hour on a calendar, never forget the grace that was delivered to you when you were so lost and helpless. Remembering the deliverance that God supplied to us will humble us in remembering that we have nothing to boast about and give us sober reflections that God Himself did this for me. He loves me, and I did nothing to deserve it. Indeed, I only caused Him pain and grief. What wondrous love is this, O my soul? It is a somber tune, but this will also raise us up in gladness as we glory in the cross of Christ and boast in Jesus, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Some of you may be here, lost and helpless. Maybe you think you are fine, but look deep down into your soul. You know you do not love God as you ought. You know that you don't love others as you ought. You know that you don't know if you're saved. You know that there is a judgment coming where justice will be dispensed to the entire world. For God will repay each man according to his deeds. You don't know the way, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. God has provided a deliverer for you, a rescuer to save you from the darkness, the kingdom of darkness that is enveloping your soul. He will shine the light and glory into your heart and keep you from falling into the eternal dark that looms ahead. Now, God's work through Christ is not just to save us from the dark, dominion, and blindness, but to bring us into the glorious sight and dwelling of the wonderful habitation of King Jesus, the blessed Lamb of God. He doesn't just save us from darkness, but He transfers us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Hallelujah. We were members of the dominion of darkness, that is, where our citizenship and our allegiance lay. But God's provision for His children is such that He not only saves us from the darkness, while we were in a state of enmity, that is a state of hatred towards Him, a state where we reject and openly oppose Him, but He also adopts us into His family and makes us part of the royal company that attends Christ Jesus in His kingdom and at His feast and at His victory. This is the kingdom of light, the opposite of the darkness. We are no longer stumbling through life in fear of the future and the wrath of God, but this is the assurance of God's love to us, that God loves His Son with the most pure and perfect love, and so He gives Him a people sanctified to live in inexpressible worship with Him forever, specifically us. See, this is the kingdom of His beloved Son, the Son that He loves. And this kingdom is defined and shaped by that love. This is not the kind of kingdoms that we expect and encounter in this world, a kingdom of dictatorships, a kingdom where the next king is simply just the oldest son, who could be a horrible man. No, this is the kingdom of the beloved Son, the Son of love, the King of love, the champion of love. So Christians, let us join together in love and worship to Christ, the beloved Son of God. For He is God's only Son, and God is well pleased with Him and has appointed Him as King over this kingdom of light, which we are now citizens of. Do not wait for heaven to value and enjoy Jesus' presence. Indeed, He is with us now and hears us. And His nature of purest goodness and holy awesomeness raptures our hearts with love for Him. You see, we have already been brought into the kingdom spiritually. And it is already a reality in our hearts. So let us focus now on Christ's person and who He is through the Scriptures and through prayer, treating Him as the King of the kingdom now. This meditation will surely improve our love for Him and inspire us to tell others about Him. For He is worthy of the love and affection and worship of all people. An awesome scene unfolds in Revelation 5 as Jesus is validated as the Lamb of God and the only one worthy to open the seals. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to look into the scroll. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and nation and people. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living... I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And as I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Jesus is the King of glory, the Lamb of God, who is worthy to reign as King over all the earth and heaven and to remain victorious as the champion of love. Let's begin now to speak and sing the praise of our King as grateful subjects, and let us live like we are already members of his kingdom. For our transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, the kingdom of light, means we are slaves of blindness and sin no longer. As it says in Romans 6, 17 to 23, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You see, our slavery is to sin no longer, because our service has been transferred. Our former service, our former deeds that we did under the rulership of the devil in the kingdom of darkness, were simply further death sentences on our soul. But we have a new job now, a new position under a new master. The King of glory has appointed us as his servants, his holy priesthood, his messengers, his feet, and his hands in the world, in his kingdom. And it is blessing forever to serve him with gratitude and love. Let us recognize daily our new service and our allegiance to God's kingdom and God's King, serving him faithfully and gladly. But I ask some of you, do you know him? Do you know the King of the kingdom of light? I tell you the truth, you have not understand what love or grace or beauty is until you meet Christ, the King of light. See, what is significant about God loving Christ? What is significant about God, Jesus being God's beloved Son, is that as God, Christ is infinitely and paramountly lovable. Your soul is wasting its time loving or valuing anything else. He is the good King, and he promises a good kingdom of delight and joy forever, complete in him, the Lamb of God. If you would just meet him, and trust, In this all-gracious Savior, turning from your sin, you would find your whole world turned upside down. He would revoke the darkness, hold on your soul, and would join you as citizen and heir of the kingdom of light. Then your term of service in the dominion of dark would be over, and you could partake in the wondrous calling of being a citizen of the Lord's country. For it is in Jesus, it is in Him whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This Son, whom God loves, this King, is the way through which we have the redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the lifeline that drew us out of the raging sea, the fireman that healed us on His shoulders and carried us to safety, the superhero that saved the day. Oh, what incredible power and majesty the Son of God displays in His effective work on the cross. The cross was the symbol of darkness and pain, but He triumphed over this kingdom of dark, this dominion of darkness, and redeemed us from our tragic, demised condition, forgiving all of the wrongs and rebellions that we've created and participated in, and in His power made us right with God. In a way, hero worship has a place in Christianity. In the world, it's pretty much idolatry. But there is one hero who we have the right to worship, our hero Jesus. The King of the Kingdom of Light is our great deliverer and Savior and friend. He did this marvelous act, wherein He took upon Himself the punishment and the wrath of God that we justly deserved, and bestowed in its place His righteousness to us. This amazing deed should not be hidden. Christ is not an extra in the credits. He is first billing. Let's act like it by showing the world that He really is our hero, and we are proud of nothing in our life except for the great and awesome deeds that He has accomplished. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Perhaps some of you are still skeptical and think you need no such saving, no such person taking over your life. In the movie Superman Returns, the character Lois Lane writes an editorial during Superman's 5-year absence, the title being, "Why the World Doesn't Need Superman." At no point in the movie are you shown any word of the text of that article, even though the character supposedly wins a Pulitzer Prize for writing it. No person could look at the reality of the bad things in the world and think we don't need Superman. That article could never be written. Superman even says at one point, "You said the world doesn't need a savior, but every day I hear people crying out for one." You who do not know Christ, today I would like you to look at the reality of your soul and ask yourself the question, can I really believe that I don't need a Savior? In the darkness of this endless rat race of trying to find purpose and meaning, groping about in the inky depths of the world's fading promises of fulfillment and happiness that never satisfy, can you really not see your need for a guide? The fact is, you are captive to the land of darkness, and you are captive to sin. And though it seems fun on the surface, you know it's not going to last. Indeed, there is a time coming, and for some of you, for some of us, it may be close at hand, when you are going to die. And you will be judged justly as a member of the rebellious kingdom which rejects God's light. There is a great catastrophe coming, and there is nothing that you can do to stop it. But the King of Light is also the Savior of Light that illuminates ways through darkness. He broke into this world through a virgin birth, lived sinlessly, and died and accomplished the humanly impossible. He rose from the dead to justify the unjustifiable, breaking the iron bonds that hold us to sin and death, and has the power to defeat the darkness in your soul, the dominion of darkness that has its hold on you, and bring you into the glorious kingdom of eternal life. Won't you trust in His power and once for all sacrifice Abandon your prideful ways and lust for sin, and turn your life into the hands of the mighty King Jesus of love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are just in awe and gratitude, thinking how you have delivered us from this terrible kingdom, this terrible curse, this dominion of darkness, seemingly inescapable. Every human design and device has failed in getting us out of it. Everything that we have done is just worthless. But you reached down. You left heaven to come down here and to save us. Oh, what graciousness. Oh, what wondrous love. It just fills our heart with such gratitude. Dear Lord, can't even express it. Dear Lord, I want to pray for all the Christians here that this would never leave us, that this would remain in our hearts, just a living, breathing reality, a banner over us, a permanent seat in the kingdom of God. We would be just perpetually looking at Jesus' face, perpetually looking at the memory of his sacrifice, at the white robes which you have secured for us. Dear Lord, I want to pray for any non-Christians that are here today, any people who are still stumbling around in the dark. I pray that they would look to you, that you would reach down to them, that they would grab a hold of your righteous hand so that you could lift them up out of the pit. Dear Lord, I thank you for this Sunday morning, for this time we've had. I pray that the next week would be a week that would be suited to your kingdom, that we would be preparing even now for the feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. In your precious name, amen. In closing, actually, how much time do we have? Are we? As much as we want, okay. In closing, I'd like to sing, And Can It Be, the glorious hymn.